welcome. Hello and welcome to Filter Optional.
I'm sorry, guys.
That's okay.
That is quite all right. I'm Chico West.
And I'm Shannon West.
And this is Filter Optional. And yes. Why we call it Filter Optional is because I'm the no filter.
And I'm the filter.
And so there's
the filter's optional.
The filter's optional. You might have a filter or you might not have a filter.
That's right. We're a Casa Colina production. Casa Colina is a men's residential treatment center.
Yes, just south of Dallas. You know, as the owner of, what's a good way for people to get to know us? You know, we've been in this business together for a long time.
Yes.
We had the Gaston House. You've helped me, you know, throughout the process.
But I think it's mainly because of your desire to help families. And so how better to help families that need to hear some things and get some tools for healthy living, you know, by, you know, presenting, hopefully we present topics that everyone can relate to. And so families can get healthy. And
it's not, not just addiction topics.
Right.
And so we're using this platform to, you know, really address, hey, our mission, I do want to share the mission at CASA is to equip men and their families with the tools to achieve a lifetime of freedom and sobriety.
That's correct.
You know, so we're really about doing that.
Yes.
And we're a family-owned business. And so we're big on that.
Right. And so since we have been working together, we have had many, believe it or not, we've had many requests to do something like this. I mean, people used to say in the prehistoric times, olden days, you know, y'all need to write a book. And we just never could quite get around to that. But now with Kevin
and
the
podcast
and KEPX productions, it's like, yes, we can spout off all of our wisdom and knowledge without anybody talking back.
And it's so the perfect outlet for you.
Exactly.
And so here's the deal is like we're on Facebook, we're on iTunes or the podcast app if you have an iPhone, Spotify, also on YouTube. Our YouTube page needs to get a little more traction. But yet, Shannon, this episode, it's crazy. This episode, we just restarted it. You know, we needed to restart it. And we've had over 70 episodes and we've never restarted an episode.
This is 71, I think, right?
Yes.
71.
And so we've had 70
episodes.
We've
never restarted.
And so I go, man, that's all right.
Well,
I mean,
you know
you actually have restarted once, but it was due to technical error on my part.
Okay,
so.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, but we don't count that.
Yeah, that's
no,
okay, good.
That's
I mean,
not
that's
on
the deal.
You. That's
on
not,
me.
Yeah, it's not on
no,
filter
this
optional.
Is 72. 71 okay. was the last one on race.
And so here's my thing is that what kind of the reason we had to restart is that you and I went on vacation last week and we were not alone for the first part of it. We had our friends, the Bowens, come out from California and it was an awesome time and they're awesome to travel together with. And we had a great time.
You made the analogy that Brian and I are a lot alike.
And Tara and I are a lot alike. And then I said, well, Tara may not want to hear that. And then you said, Brian may not want to hear that either. So I don't know how they feel about it, if you're listening, but we did feel
we really
very
enjoyed
much,
our time with
yes,
them.
Yes, alike. And they know that they were kind of B-team, not B-team in our hearts, but we really wanted, first of all, we wanted our kids to be there, but they, because of COVID, they couldn't be there. And then we had invited some friends, and because of different circumstances with them, they couldn't be there either. And so we gratefully and gladly invited the Bowens to come up, and it was a great call. And I'm just grateful that God worked it out that way for us so that we could spend that time together. But what I'm getting at is that we did spend the last four or so days together alone. And
but you were talking about you were sharing about how, you know, those, you know, we got there on Saturday last week and the Bowens left on Wednesday, but you said they were starting to fill your tank.
Oh yeah. That's so they really were starting to fill my tank. Like, you know, I haven't been around people very much or friends and a change of scenery and, you know, just some good food and, you know, good drinks for Tara and I. but you know, and good drinks for y'all too. They had huckleberry lemonade everywhere we went.
I know.
Huckleberries everywhere in Montana. It's awesome. And you know, we just had a great time and laughed. Laughter is such good medicine and all that stuff. So my tank started to get full, and we got on a boat, and you know, I'm like, okay, fill my tank. And then they left when it was about halfway full. They just bailed. So then I was left with you. And we are coming up on 25 years of marriage, and I am already, you know, starting to think in my head about the Instagram post that I'm going to need to do, because, you know, I am so grateful for you, and I think that we have kind of nailed marriage so far. So hopefully we go another 25 plus years, but I think so far we've kind of nailed it, you know, having our problems, having our, you know, successes and our fruitfulness to be, you know, that's a little teaser.
Fleshing some of those out on the show.
Yes. But, you know, but I have to say that you did, and you said, you know, in the previous recording that we stopped, that I didn't hurt your feelings by saying this, but I have to say that I did not leave Montana with my tank full. And I was relying on you to hopefully fill it for the rest of the time. And I started to still get like down and like just, you know, future tripping on what's going to happen when I get home and what's happening with school and all this stuff. And so
can I ask
my
a
tank
question?
Wasn't full. And
can
I think,
let me ask a question, because I like this, and I still don't take it offensively that I didn't fill your tank, but I like what you just said. You started future tripping. When Brian and Tara were there, and you know, we also saw, you know, Pat and Rhonda and went hiking with them one day.
That was awesome.
It's like we had our days full. It's like we hiked, you know, down Big Mountain one day, and then, you know, had a cookout, and then, you know, the next day
I could hardly walk the day after the hike. No, I mean really.
And then the next day we were hanging out with Brian and Tara, and we got a boat and went out on Flathead Lake, and then
got huckleberry ice cream, and
then we went the next day as we hiked through Glacier
National Park,
which was incredible, and we just had a good time, and we had good fellowship, and then they left, and it's like you said, I didn't fill your tank, because is it possible that you were physically in Montana, but then you started thinking about being here in Dallas?
I did, and I've pretty much been with you also for 5 months. And, you know, we've had some great time together, but we've also just kind of been both running on empty and living in this, like,
in a survival
universe. Yeah, but universe together. We've just been kind of living in this universe together, both on empty. You can't run a vehicle on empty. It can't run. So we've been like puttering along. And so when they left, you had nothing. I mean, I'm done with kind of whatever you have to offer right now. Yeah. But I know that sounds horrible.
Sounds a little harsh.
I know. And I don't, that's what I mean, is I don't mean it to sound that way. It's like,
it's
I use the
a
example.
Contradiction, Kevin,
well, I
use, too. Wait, hey, we nailed it.
We did.
That's a good point.
And we're nailing it. I mean,
can you do both?
Yeah.
We're going to get over this hump, but it's these external circumstances that are out of our control that are causing my tank to be empty and yours. And it's everyone.
And I don't know if my tank's as empty as yours.
Okay, well, then maybe not. But, well, you've had a little more socialization. You've played golf. You have your Zoom meeting every morning. So with, you know, friends and accountability and venting partners. And my community is a bunch of moms that are all freaked out and pulling out their hair right now trying to figure out what's happening. So my community's tank is empty. Okay, maybe yours isn't. And maybe yours personally isn't, but my community's
at the same time, it's like, you know, the options. We talked about that in another episode. There's not a lot of options right now. And so there's part of me that, you know, you can't just go see a movie because that's kind irresponsible. I mean, there's just little things.
Well, and when we are going to get into this, and I love this, this is kind of can be a segue to our topic, is that, you know, success is defined by society by kind of what you're accomplishing and what you're doing. And as mothers, I find, and even as just people that aren't mothers or fathers, are having trouble accomplishing things right now because of all the unknowns and all the change. So I'm not feeling successful in life right now.
Okay, let's pause on that because that's perfect. I think you just nailed it. You know, I called you this morning and said, hey, let's do a podcast on this, you know, this reading from Henry Nouwen that I love. And I go, man, I shared it in my Zoom meeting this morning. And I go, man, it just struck me big time. So I'm going to read a little bit of it. We're going to talk about it.
You know,
I
hate that, but it's okay.
Yes. And I know you hate that.
I love you acting it out. Like, look for Chico in the next audiobook of someone.
Yes. Okay. And so it's by Henry Nouwen, and it's called We're Called to Be Fruitful. You have to be really aware of the differences between fruitfulness and success because the world is always talking to you about success. Society keeps asking you, show me your trophy. Show me how many books you've written. Show me how many games did you win. Show me how much money did you make. Show me. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. I'm saying that finally, that's not the question. The question is, are you going to bear fruit? And the amazing thing is that our fruitfulness comes out of our vulnerability, not just out of our power. Actually, it comes out of our powerlessness. And so I like what you just said is, you know, what society, because you read this as well.
I did.
You know, and you liked it. But I like what you said. Success is about accomplishing things. And so we get wrapped up into that and we avoid that vulnerability. And you're saying, you gave me an aha moment just now. It's like, you know, you're talking about as moms, you know, moms of high school kids, you know, elementary kids, even college kids. It's like you get wrapped up into, okay, hey, am I doing everything to meet the needs of my family?
Right.
You know, and so I like what you say. I'm holding up, if you're listening, I'm holding up, is just a sheet of paper, but you have your calendar. You know what you're doing.
Yes.
And so all of a sudden,
I mean, in February, I was lining up ACT and SAT tutors for Beck. I was about to sign him up for the June SAT and the August ACT. And I mean, I was like I'm going to start this train early and I'm going to get this done and whatever. And I mean, now nobody's taking it. Universities aren't requiring it.
But also not just you've been transitioning and coming on full time at CASA's business development. And we went in January to Alabama and you were going to start going to Alabama and building those business development relationships.
Yes.
And
go to Oklahoma. Going to Oklahoma.
Yes.
I mean, yeah,
and so it's like all your,
and I would be accomplishing things at that point. I would be accomplishing stuff.
That's a
checking
good thing.
Off my list.
Yes. And all of a sudden,
but even personally, like not as a mom, if you're listening and you're not a mom, but even personally, like in Montana, I haven't worked out in 4 months. That's just the facts. I mean, gyms are closed. I mean, it's been hot as hell. You know, I just haven't worked out. So we were going on this hike with hikers from Montana. Okay. And they're like, we're taking you on an easy hike. And I'm like, okay, but I don't know what your definition of easy is. But on the hike, I had to tell the story about being in Canada hiking. And when I was at the back of the line, it made me feel so defeated and how they put the slowest person at the front. And that's what Pat said. Yeah, that's what hiking guides always do. They always put the slowest person in the front so they don't feel defeated seeing everyone in front of them. So
you beat me down the hill.
I did, but you hurt your knee.
Yes.
I was really concerned about you. I was like, who's going to come
but
get
you? But you know what I like, though, is you finished 10, 15 minutes ahead of me. and you didn't. I like
that's
that
because
you took
your
care
knee
of,
was like
it was swelling up, really but it hurt. Was all right.
But all I'm saying is that I felt this need to accomplish that for success. Like I can prove myself that I can have some success, and then I, like I said, I could hardly walk the next morning. I mean, that's the truth. Like I could hardly walk. But so why did I need that to, anyway, feel successful? But I'm just saying it's not just a mom thing. It's not just like lining up stuff for my kids and like what I'm doing for school and all that kind of stuff. It's like a personal like need for accomplishments personally.
Yeah. And the great thing is what Nowen's talking about is he's not saying that it's wrong or anything like that.
Right.
You know, and you know I love, you know, his books and stuff like that. And one of my favorite books is Life Signs. And what he talks about fruitfulness, or my favorite word, fecundity.
Oh my gosh, you know, you got it in there.
So I did get it in there. But what, and I'm gonna quote it, and I don't know it exactly, but he goes, you know, he goes, a call to live a productive life does not necessarily imply a call to be fruitful. You know, productivity can take away, you know, can give us a sense of accomplishment, you know, and can take away any struggles that we're having. But I like what he says. He goes, I don't want to say that productivity is wrong or needs to be despised, but if it's our main way of overcoming self-doubt, it can lead to inner anxiety and depression, you know. And so I talk about that as like, when I think of productivity, I kind of throw it in there with success. Is like there's nothing. It's not bad to do those things or
right.
check your checklist,
have goals
or
and
any of that
goals
stuff.
Goals and challenges.
But if
challenge
it's our
yourself.
Main way of overcoming self-doubt, we're going to be prone to inner anxiety and depression, you know, big time. And so I think about us right now in this COVID environment. Is man, I think we are being prone to inner anxiety or in depression, big time. Does that make sense?
Yes, of course we are, because we can't find ways to be productive, you know?
Yes, and
but,
so
I think we need to look for today, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Go for it.
So today I talked to Jamie for a long time about ARM.
Yeah.
And the work that I want to do for them, because they're a nonprofit and they've, you know, these, I could... My work with ARM, I feel like, produces fruitfulness in my life, not a trophy or, you know, success. And in that way, I don't look for productivity and all of that.
And you're a volunteer on their board, and
yeah,
you're helping
them
out.
I just want fruitfulness to come from that. So I was very encouraged by, after I got off the phone, I just started thinking, wow, I felt so unproductive for a few months now, but just the thought of diving into that makes me feel productive, but and fruitful.
Like, yes.
It's the fruitfulness that will fill my tank rather than getting people into CASA or, you know, doing business development for CASA. I hate to say, I still am going to do that because I know that's my job. That's my boss I'm talking to over there.
Yes.
But putting my time and energy into this endeavor with ARM is going to produce fruitfulness in my life and fill my tank.
Yes. And so that's what I like is, man, because we can get wrapped up in being successful. We can get real wrapped up in, you know, having all these things that we can make sure that it works, you know, well, and stuff like that. I was sharing with, you know, with my men on this Zoom meeting and stuff like that. And I was talking about this reading, and what he goes on and talks about actually comes from our powerlessness. So I thought it was real appropriate for my Zoom meeting about our powerlessness, you know, and that being vulnerable and being powerless is truly that place of fruitfulness. You know, I don't like talking about, yes, I have a past. It's not that I regret, like, my past with my alcoholism and stuff. I want to talk about present-day vulnerabilities. I want to talk about present-day what blocks me from being vulnerable and being powerlessness, you know, because I can get wrapped up in success and, you know, the trophies and, you know, have my degree up here. It's actually in the hallway and look where I went and stuff like that. And that's not really who I am. You know, who I am is how do I connect with people? And man, I get scared of being vulnerable. Although we had a great time on the trip, I saw a place where I got vulnerable with you a week ago today after Brian and Tara left and just was talking about my insecurities and the messages that I was telling myself. It's like, man, I want to encourage people to do that. Although it was awkward and, you know, I teared up and I was sharing with you. It's like, I was grateful that we were away from this. You know, yes. we weren't away from COVID because they have it in Montana.
We wouldn't have had the same discussion at home because there's too many distractions.
Yes, because we got back, you know,
But you were able to share with me, you know, some of your vulnerabilities and your thoughts that you were having about situations. And I was able to share that my tank is empty.
Yes.
And I am so sorry that I have nothing to give you. And you accepted that because it took away that thought process in your mind that it's me, it's me, it's me. She doesn't care about me. She doesn't want to do it for me. She doesn't want to make this happen for me or whatever. And you can get stuck. I mean, I have those thought processes too about different things and you and anybody else. But you can get stuck in those cycles of thought that you keep playing.
We've called that in you know, on this podcast several times is what's the narrative? You know, what's the narrative you're telling yourself? And so, you know, that's where what I like what Nouwen's talking about is truly the difference between success and fruitfulness is, you know, they like success, once again, I'm going to repeat it. There's nothing wrong with that. Right. But if it is our main way of overcoming self-doubt, then you're never going to be fruitful.
Well,
you might be successful as shit.
Right. And I got vulnerable with you about my tank not being full.
Yes.
And I'm there with you by ourselves in a gorgeous, beautiful place in the country, most beautiful place in the country. And I'm telling you my tank's not full. And then also I told you that I had rallied to do the things that you really enjoy. You're a hiker. We went fly fishing. And I told you, I really, really enjoyed all of those things. I'm not taking away from, I mean, I'm not telling you that I did those just for you and that I didn't enjoy it at all, but I did it for you and all that stuff.
On the fly fishing trip, you were the only one that caught the rainbow trout.
I did.
And I rejoiced and celebrated.
Well, you said that early on. You were like, I just really hope you catch a fish. And maybe that was guilt. Maybe that was guilt. Like, I made you kind of do this fly fishing trip. I just really want to be calm and whatever.
I don't think it was guilt, but okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, it wasn't guilt.
That's why we can discuss it. Okay,
I think you enjoyed yourself. It was a long day, but I really think you enjoyed the beauty. And I go, I think she'll do this again, especially if she gets a little reward, you know, and there was a little reward there.
See, that's a little manipulative, though, that you say that. She wanted me to have a reward, so I'd do it again.
Maybe it's manipulative.
I would have done it again without catching anything.
Okay. I just think you would have enjoyed it, you know.
I'm just saying. It's just here we are, a married couple coming up on 25 years, and I said in the first take, I think we nailed it. We've nailed it so far in a lot of ways. I mean, but, you know, and not but. But, but see, you have to have these kind of discussions. Like, I was making an assumption about how you felt about the fly fishing. And about me, I was making an assumption. We all make assumptions. And unless you clear them up, you're going to ride with that assumption forever.
And the deal is you're not going to be fruitful. But we had that great...
You won't be successful either.
You might be successful. There's a lot of people that, you know, as the world sees it, are successful. They have the trophies. They have the degrees. They make a lot of money. you know, but I don't know if they're real fruitful. And so that's my deal is, and I don't know if they're real because they don't know what vulnerability is. And I see people on a daily basis that truly don't know what vulnerability is. This week I've had
I would agree with that. I don't know that I truly understand without an example. And I do think that, and then you can go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was just going to go off of the example of you sharing with me and me sharing with you. I mean, that is vulnerability by me saying you, my tank is empty.
Yeah.
And what we're doing here is not filling it. Most people would not be comfortable sharing that because they would feel like,
I'm going to hurt that person's feelings.
He paid for this trip and here we are in this beautiful place and I'm going to hurt his feelings and why say that and whatever. But it explained so much for you, I think.
And then the great thing is, what I was going to say is after we had all that, I went on a great hike by myself.
Yes.
You know, and I listened to some good music and I went up, you know, the mountain and there was no resentment or hostility, but our struggle is, man, what, you know, how can we get so focused on success? Because we think success is going to bring us happiness. And what I'm saying here and what now I'm saying is...
And productivity.
Yes. And what now I'm saying is, no. What truly is going to give us that joy is to be powerless and vulnerable. And vulnerability is scary. Vulnerability takes courage. It takes risk. You know, it takes that ability to step into uncomfortable situations.
It also takes some introspection. Like, people need to look inside instead of pointing. We've always talked about pointing the finger. You're pointing three back at yourself. And we've got to quit blaming. We've got to name things. We keep talking about that, too. But
So this week, I hadn't even shared this with you. It's like, I've seen a few private clients outside the CASA deal and, you know, a couple of them said, oh, wow, you know, you nailed me. You're right. And I don't want to discount, you know, some of the gifts I have, but I think that the biggest gift is, man, I can create a space that it's all right to be vulnerable and I can point that out, you know, and that's something that every human has the capacity to do.
Well, that's the gift of a good therapist too, to ask the curious questions that bring it out in people. Like, you know, you have to have somebody leading the questions. Anyway.
And so I met with this man today and he started to ask me a question, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, oh, he caught himself. I just answered it. I gave him a ding.
Yeah.
You know, I go, see, it's like we do not have that self-dialogue. We don't. And sometimes that the best vulnerability is to share what's actually going on in the moment, in the here and now.
Right.
You know, and it's like, I got to be powerless. I got to be broken. I got to be able, because from that, that's where the seeds can really grow. If you look at it, he talks more even in this little meditation today, he talks more as like the earth needs to be turned up in order to plant things for fruit to grow. It has to be turned up. It has to be
broken. Why don't you read that little part real quick?
Actually, it comes out of our powerlessness. If the ground wants to be fruitful, you have to break it open a little bit. The hard ground cannot bear fruit. It has to be raked open. And the mystery is that our illnesses and our weaknesses and our many ways of dying are often the ways that we get in touch with all our vulnerabilities. You and I have to trust that they will allow us to be more fruitful if lived faithfully, precisely where we are weakest and often most broken and often most needy. Precisely there can be the ground of our fruitfulness. You know, I love his words. He does a great job of just kind of painting the picture.
Yeah, I mean.
And so that, you know.
If you're a gardener, you understand it. If you're not, you may not.
You know, you may not get it. But,
I'm kidding. But I'm calling you not the gardener. But I get, you have to break the soil. You have to till the soil. You have to turn it over. You have to open it up for anything to grow.
And so just like you said, we're going to have 25 years of marriage at the end of this month. I'm going to also, if I make it, you know, which I believe I will, I'll have 31 years of sobriety.
Yes.
You know, And you know, when I was sharing this, some of my buddies go, man, I felt the closest to God early in recovery. And some of these guys own treatment centers. And he goes, sometimes I get jealous when I go down to my center and I see the men that are in the program, and they're just at this broken place wanting recovery. And I believe they're closer to God than I am now after, you know, decades of sobriety. And I can identify with that, you know, because I can get wrapped up in, you know, in the successes. And so the crazy thing is, there's a part of me that kind of likes this COVID deal. That's why, yes, my tank isn't as empty, is because, man, I just see, I can't control shit. I mean, the world is shut down. There's this fucking pandemic, excuse my language.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, I'm concerned about the economy. I can't change what, you know, the politics that are going on. And it's like, okay, this stuff.
And that's also your personality. I mean, you know, that's your personality. The Enneagram 8, it, you know, wants to control, you know, in an unhealthy, when you're in operating in an unhealthy manner, you want control. And my personality is, I want to help. And so that's where my angst is coming from. It's like, I sit in my, like, inability to help. It's the same thing. We can't control it. I can't control anything. So, I mean, it might boil down to control, but I can't help anybody. I can't help anything. And I can't even help my own children.
Yeah. But here's the great thing is, I love what you've done during this pandemic is, You've gotten vulnerable with our kids. You've gotten vulnerable with me, and you've taken that risk. You know, I like that. It's because that vulnerability and that powerlessness is like,
because there's nowhere else to turn. I don't have the fuel to even run codependency. Like, I can't be codependent because I don't even have the fuel to be codependent. You know, so all I have is broken vulnerability.
Yes, and you're in the powerlessness. Yes. And so that's where, man, that's where I believe, where I guess with this episode is, man, if you can embrace your vulnerability and your powerlessness, you might not see the fruit grow right away. Success gives you the illusion that there's fruit growing.
Yes, but I have said recently that I've got to try harder. I haven't been trying at all, because
you've been stuck.
I don't have the fuel. Well, I haven't had the fuel to do anything, but I've got to try harder. I've got to figure out how to fuel myself, fill my tank, do something. And so I have made some steps to try to, and, you know, anyway, we don't have time to go into, like, remodel at our house.
We don't, but the good thing is where I want to encourage you and spur you on is that it's shocking because, like I said earlier, and we kind of got off track, is people, I know I've been afraid of being vulnerable. You know, most people are afraid of being vulnerable. And it's like, man, if you can take that risk of vulnerability with others and yourself, man, that's where the fruit will truly grow.
Yes. And so, and I'll give you a good example of that is that, and so if he's listening, I'm not going to share who it was, but so I texted, you know, I had some stuff going on with somebody that needed to correct some things. And so I texted him and said, you know, all of our tanks are empty right now. It's fine. You know, we just got to figure out a way to, like, fuel your tank and whatever, kind of what we've talked about. And you know, it was like, fine, whatever. And then today he said, you know, that one text totally resonated with me. Like, you're right. And he was vulnerable with me saying, you're right. My tank is empty. So I'm going to make strides to produce fruitfulness. I guess he didn't say that, but
yeah, but that's what was implied.
Yes.
And that's a good thing. And so here's the deal. Those are those little things of, okay, hey, you took ownership, you shared it, you
yes.
got vulnerable in that text with someone else.
Right.
They connected with you. And
right.
so right there, it's like you got to see that.
It was
fruit.
Kind of a business relationship. So talk about courage and, like, bravery and not being afraid. Like, who says, my tank is empty to a business.
Yes.
You know, anyway, and so, I can see me doing it with a friend more than anyway. So yeah.
I don't know. I would challenge, you know. I see sometimes though friends just kind of feed off each other and just kind of just
oh yeah, no, that's not what I meant. I just meant it would be easier to shoot off a text that's not in a professional thing, like just with a friend, like, you know, my tank's kind of empty and whatever, but it would just be easier.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good. Well, so, I liked this episode, and it's our first one that we ever had to redo. You know, although
we had to start over, not redo the whole thing. We just had to pause. We just had a little bit of a block, or I did, whatever. But it's good. Everybody needs to continue to figure out how to fill their tank because we're all empty.
All right.
There's a gas crisis.
There is a gas crisis. Be vulnerable.
Fuel crisis.
Recognize you're powerless. And that was a good show. Thank you.